And now on this Friday evening, we talk movies with the host of Fat Guys at the Movies, which airs Saturday nights at 6 here on News Talk 590 WVLK and 97.3. Kevin Carr is with us. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. We have one movie to talk about this week that opens wide, and that is the epic finale to the Maze Runner saga entitled The Maze Runner, The Death Cure. A group of escaped gladders. I don't know which is it.
Gladders, I think.
Yeah. On their final and most dangerous mission yet to save their friends, they must break into the legendary Last City. It's a maze, I guess, that they have to navigate through. And if you make it out alive, well, then you still got problems. I don't know. What is this all about? I'm not familiar. This is a series, obviously. Have you enjoyed the series? And is this finale worth it?
Well, you know, back when they were doing Hunger Games, after Hunger Games was starting to get wrapped up, they said, hey, we need to get a new dystopian, futuristic thriller from young adult literature. And so they tried, like, Divergent, and that one did okay at first, but then kind of ended up doing a death spiral and falling apart before they even made the last movie. And this one had a little bit of a decent start with the first film where they're stuck in this maze. And then they did a sequel a year later. Now it's been 2.5 years since they've done this, the new one, and they've taken a little bit of time. Part of the thing is with these movies, they sometimes have an interesting setup. You know, it was interesting in the first one. Why are they in this maze? What's going on? And by this point, you're learning that there's this plague that's turning people into zombies, and these kids have immunity in their blood, but still people are trying to kill them, but they want to make a serum out of them, and they're going after their friend who's in this lab in this city. It's to the point that, honestly, I'm watching the movie, and I'm thinking, I don't even remember why they were in the maze in the first place. It doesn't even make a whole lot of sense why they put if these kids are immune and can save everybody, why are they putting them in such horrible danger? So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's especially from movie to movie, and they don't even do a good job in this film kind of backtracking and saying, oh, yeah, remember, because it's been a couple of years, this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would call this more the death knell than the death cure, because yeah. I think it's the death knell to these dystopian science fiction movies from young adult literature getting to the big screen. I mean, it looks good. It has some good action to it. It has some enjoyable scene, but it runs like 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and it's kind of incoherent at times and doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, it's just not very well written.
It just sounds like a mess or a maze to try to get through the movie itself.
Yeah, it's a confusing quagmire of stuff.
All right, better action films out on the screens this weekend if that's what you've got a taste for.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, this weekend there's only one new movie, but what a lot of times Hollywood does is when they have Oscar nominations, they kind of clean out that first that weekend of the Oscar nomination so they can get every all the movies that are Best Pictures and other nominated films to re-expand and open up into theaters bigger, and so you have a chance to see them if you missed them the first time around. And so you're getting that a lot too. So you're going to see a bump, you know, maybe not winning the box office bump, but you're going to see a lot of bumps in some of the films that got nominated for awards this week.
Yeah, I guess the awards, the film that garnered the most nominations was The Shape of Water.
Yeah.
What is that about? It's not about water, is it?
No. Okay. It's this is one of my favorite movies from last year. It's Gerald Mel del Toro wrote and directed it. It's the story of a woman who back in the I think it's in the 50s, she is working at a lab, and she's mute. She's had an accident, so she can no longer speak. And she works at a government lab, and they brought in this Gillman creature that they found in South America, kind of like Creature from the Black Lagoon, and they got him in there, and she develops a relationship with this fish-like Gillman. And it's her hope to try and save him and get him out from being, you know, dissected or being overly studied in the lab. It's this bizarre film that's the weirdest elevator pitch you're going to hear, but it's very sweet. It's tender. It pushes against some norms, but it's beautifully shot, and it's actually a really charming story of humanity, even though one of the characters isn't even human.
Shape of Water got a lot. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Lady Bird. I guess those would be your favorites in the Best Picture category, where, let's see, 9 films were nominated out of a possible 10 nominations. Anything.
Yeah, I think Shape of Water is the front runner, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, that's also kind of like right in the front, because that those have both won Best Pictures recently at bigger events. You know, it's nice that Lady Bird and Get Out, actually Get Out getting nominated for the Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor down the line. That was a surprise. That's not going to win. Because it's kind of first-time filmmakers, they tend not to give awards to first-time filmmakers, which I think the thing that's going to struggle be a struggle for Lady Bird. But it's neat that they got nominated.
Any other surprises? I mean, are you surprised that Wonder Woman, in I guess a year in which, after Harvey Weinstein, Hollywood's bending over backwards to make sure women get noticed, and you had the SAG Awards where only women were presenters, and everybody's wearing these Time's Up lapels, and we didn't nominate James Franco, even though he won a Golden Globe for The Disaster Artist, because there have been sexual harassments launched against him, but yet you had a movie that was one of the top box office hits of the year. It's called Wonder Woman, about a woman superhero. Got good reviews. You liked it. A lot of other critics liked it. I mean, it's not going to win Best Picture, but the fact that it was passed over even with the Golden Globes and the Oscars. Is it because it's a superhero movie? Is it the nationality of the star? She is Israeli. And there have been some right-wing websites that have said, well, there you go. She's an unabashedly proud Israeli and veteran of the Israeli military. So could politics have had something to do with the fact that this movie got glossed over?
I don't think it has anything to do with Gal Gadot and her Israeli background or even what she said in the past. And I think that's neither here nor there in terms of the big picture for Wonder Woman. Part of it is, I mean, I liked Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was a good movie. I know some people have put it on their top 10 list just because it's kind of, it was sort of this big surprise, and it was a big movie, but I think you would have a hard time arguing that it's the best of the year for me. I don't think it was, it was sort of like when Iron Man came out 10 years ago, and it kind of helped redefine superhero movies at the time. Iron Man was a great movie, but I don't think I was not surprised at all that it didn't get nominated for an Oscar and for anything aside from technical elements. And Wonder Woman's the same way. I thought it was a good movie, a good action movie, a good superhero movie. Not best of the year. It's not something that I think that it was necessarily going to rise above the rest. Box office aside, I mean, the Oscars have never been about box office. If they were, Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen would have won an Oscar, which it didn't, and it didn't deserve one.
It'll get a Razzie, though, maybe.
What was that?
It may get a Razzie.
certainly for the Transformers movies, those are terrible.
That's what I mean.
No, Wonder Woman. I'm not surprised. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if it showed up in Best Picture, but I mean, you're talking about narrowing it down to five people in terms of Best Director, so it's not a big surprise Patty Jenkins didn't get nominated. I mean, you have in terms of Year of the Woman, you've got Greta Gerwig, first time filmmaker, a director actually, first time solo director, got nominated for Lady Bird. That's a surprise over like Steven Spielberg for The Post.
Well, that's right. Yeah, Spielberg didn't get nominated in The Post, and I'm looking. I think there was somebody else who's
Peele he's a first time director for Get Out.
He wasn't nominated either, because normally I think there's only been three times.
He was. I'm sorry. For Best Director, but both Lady Bird and Get Out getting nominated for Best Director.
Yeah, you're right. Well, normally I think it's only happened three times in Oscar history where a film won Best Picture without the director being nominated for the film.
They sometimes win it and don't give it to them. It happened actually last year with Damien Chazelle with La La Land. That was not Best Picture, but it was nominated. I'll tell you though, I don't think either one's going to win because they're first timers. I really think Guillermo del Toro has it sewn up for Shape of Water. He's won like every major award for Best Director.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on it and keep an eye on the multiplex for some new releases coming out. In fact, what is it? Is it Black Panther? That's a superhero movie, I guess, coming out here in a couple of weeks. It's highly anticipated, expected to do big box office.
Oh, yeah, it's going
to
be a huge blockbuster. That one comes out, I think, is Valentine's Day weekend. So. Yeah, that's going to be a big one. I think the number I saw tossed around is at least $120 million for its opening weekend, which is huge for February.
Sure is. Kevin, thanks so much for the time this afternoon. We'll talk to you next week.